Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Happy New Year's Day to you. And I want to talk to you this week about the call of God on our lives to live a life of love. I made the very bold statement yesterday that if you were willing to make a very simple and yet very powerful New Year's resolution with regard to walking in love this year as you have never done before, that it would have the result of impacting every single area of your life. It will impact your health, it will impact your finances, it will impact your family life, your marriage, your relationships, and it will impact even your prayers being answered. Why do I make such a strong statement? The Word of God is filled with scriptures that point us towards the call of God on each and every one of our lives to live a life of love. And it's not just a love that the world would define, but it is the love that God commands us. Very simply put, Jesus said, all the law, meaning his commandments and the prophets, everything they ever said, could be hung on these two commandments, boiled down to loving God, number one, and loving your neighbor as yourself, being number two. This call to love God and to love one another supersedes every other law because the scripture tells us it fulfills all the law of God. God wants us, as we are told in Ephesians 5:1-2, to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Walk in love. That's the call of God. And I want to continue this week in talking about how could we walk out such a resolution that we are going to walk in love this year like never before in our lives. And how would it play out in our lives? And what would it look like in the life of a Christian who decided that they were going to do exactly as the Lord commands in Ephesians 5:1, walking in love in all areas of their lives? God wants us to be people who literally show the character of God everywhere that we go. This is God's call on our life. And Jesus himself said that we would be known that we were the disciples of Jesus if we loved one another. We find that in John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And he had said just previous to that, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another. Just as I've loved you, so you too should love one another. But Jesus didn't only command his disciples to love each other, meaning other people in the church, other Christians, people like themselves. He gave a very hard command in Matthew chapter 5. When he told those who were listening, who had gathered to hear him teach this fascinating and powerful commandment, he said to them in Matthew 5:43, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, I want to bring up this issue today of loving our enemies, because we in the United States are in a place in history where suddenly we are faced with very real enemies who have expounded their hatred of the United States and of everything the United States stands for, and for Christians, and for any other people groups who are non-Muslim. Now, I want to say that Jesus himself has commanded us here in Matthew chapter 5 to love our enemies. Some of you listening to these words may find that difficult. You may even be offended by my suggestion that we are to love those who have come and brutally murdered innocent people in our country and have seemed to be plotting to do more of the same. And yet, I take you back to the Word of God in Matthew 5, Jesus' own words, where he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Reading those words perhaps some years ago may not have had such a great impact as they do today. Perhaps having enemies didn't seem so very real to our country as it is today in this time in history. And yet we have some very real enemies who espouse great hatred toward the people of this country. And yet Jesus still calls us to love them. What does that mean and what does that look like? Does that mean that we should not seek out those responsible for wickedness and terrorism? Absolutely not. God is a God of justice and of righteousness, and the authorities in this country have the legal and even biblical right to bring to justice those who have done evil and wicked acts. And yet the danger for us in this country, the danger for people who are Christians and non-Christians alike in this United States of America is to fall into the trap of hating those who have done wickedness to our country, allowing hatred, allowing bitterness, allowing unforgiveness, allowing a spirit of revenge, allowing racism or prejudice to creep in and to take hold of the hearts of our own countrymen. And I warn you who are listening to this broadcast today, the day you allow revenge to enter your spirit, the day you allow prejudice, racism, bitterness, unforgiveness to enter your spirit, you have placed yourself in a very dangerous spiritual situation. You are outside of the love of God because the scripture says God is love. And this God who is love spoke to us very clearly when he said, "But I say to you, love your enemies." And love does not hate. And love is not resentful. And love is not prejudiced towards people of a certain ethnic background. And love is not racist. And love is not critical or judgmental of authorities who perhaps you think aren't moving as quickly or swiftly as they should. Understand, if you allow yourself to become occupied with these sorts of spirits, even though you may be a Christian, love God, read the Bible, go to church every Sunday, you're in dangerous ground. Because when you're outside of love, you are in spiritual danger. We're called to walk in love, and your faith will not work when you are outside of love. Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. You could say love is the power source because God is love, so he's the power source. And your faith, believing God's word to come to pass in your life, I'm talking about faith in the word of God and his promises, that your faith in those things will be neutralized if you're not walking in love. This is a very important message for you if you have gotten on the bandwagon that is sweeping this nation where people are drawing targets on certain individuals' faces and saying dead or alive and all these sorts of things. Understand, if there's a spirit of hatred, resentment, bitterness, or a spirit of revenge in your heart, you have stepped outside of God's love. Now, God loves even the perpetrators of these wicked things. Understand that Osama bin Laden is not Satan. Osama bin Laden is a man who has been greatly deceived, so much so that he believes he's giving service to God by killing people. Jesus himself predicted that these days would come. He said these words in John 16, look it up for yourself. Verse 2 says, "But an hour is coming when whoever kills you will think and claim that he has offered service to God." The days we're living in were prophesied by Jesus himself We live in that day, and yet at the same time Jesus commanded us, "But I say to you, love your enemies." How do we respond properly to these events and still maintain a place of walking in love and a place where we know that justice must be served? God calls us to love human beings, to hate the spirit of wickedness and sin that's behind what some of the human beings we know are doing, but we are still called to love the human beings. We have to love our enemies. We have to pray for our enemies. We have to pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us. There are certain people who are hatefully pursuing the destruction of the United States and pursuing the destruction of Israel. God still calls us to love our enemies and pray for them. May God wisely guide our president and those in authority to bring to justice people who have committed crimes. But even the criminals we must pray for, even the criminals we must love. And when you love someone, you pray for their best. Their best is that they would repent and come to a true knowledge of God who loves them and does not want to see even them perish in hellfire. But without people praying for them, how will they ever be saved? So I want to encourage you today, we're called to love our enemies. And for us as believers, we must pray for those who have mounted a campaign of hatred against us and pray for those of all ethnic backgrounds that they would come to the knowledge of the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. And as you guard your heart in this way this year, you will be able to preserve that place of peace in your own life. You'll be able to preserve your faith. It will work for you. Pray for those who hate us, and God will bless you and meet you, and He will see justice served. He's a God of goodness and a God of justice.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.